Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Kim Davis. And it has been a busy couple of days. I tell you what, we are going to talk a lot about the Houston Rockets this morning. We're going to talk about what's happening in the NBA. There is just a lot for us to talk about, and I am really excited to have you guys with me. So buckle up, sit back, and we're going to get this thing rolling. Welcome. As always, before we get started, I want to thank some people who help us make this possible. Our good friends over at Sunshine's Vegetarian Deli in Houston, Texas, 3102 Old Spanish Trail. Go by and check them out today. You have time to get by for lunch after the show, or actually any time later on today. They are try something different, and be sure and tell them that Kim Davis from Chalk Talk sent you. And you know what? If you've never had vegan food and you're like, oh, my gosh, what do I have? Tell them that. They'll help you pick out some stuff, let you sample a few things. You can't go wrong with the vegan nachos, okay? There are black bean nachos, and there are just the vegan nachos. The vegan nachos come from, it's like a soy crumbled kind of patty, or you can get the black bean nachos. Anyway, go over and check them out if you're in Houston, Texas. Also, they carry Kimmy Treats, my Kimmy Corn, the Kimmy Bars, and my cookies, so you can go by there and get some of all of that. So on today's show, if you have not heard, if somehow you are just coming out of a cave, the Houston Rockets made a deal yesterday. They traded for nine-time All-Star Chris Paul. We affectionately refer to him as CP3, right? He is now a Houston Rocket, and it was they had to make a lot of moves to make that deal happen. They sent seven players, a future first-round draft pick, and some cash to the Los Angeles Clippers in exchange, in return, to pick up Chris Paul. So we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to have a guest joining me shortly, my former co-host, the current sports editor of the Houston Defender. Max Edison is going to join me, and we're going to talk about I'm going to get Max's thoughts, and I think we may have some similar thoughts about it. And then I know we definitely see differently, if nothing more, because I know we see we have different thoughts about James Harden, right? So we have some different thoughts about James Harden and what he, not so much what he means to the team, but just about James Harden. So we're going to talk about that. And if you want to be a part of the conversation, you can do that. The number to call in is on the screen at 773-897-6343. That number is 773-897-6343. So you can call and give me your thoughts about this trade. Give me your opinion. Hello to the good morning to the folk over on Periscope. Welcome, welcome. Thank you. Welcome. I guess that's Aeon, am I saying it right? If not, I apologize. It's your first day on Periscope. Welcome to the social world of Periscope. You know about as much about it as I do. All right, so thank you for being a part of today's show. So yesterday we get the news that the Houston Rockets have made this blockbuster deal, right? They have traded for Chris Paul. They have sent... let me tell you who they sent. So I told you they sent seven players to the Clippers. They sent Patrick Beverley, which was probably the, you know, one of the toughest moves for them because Pat Beverley was considered the hello, Darylin, good morning, welcome. He was considered the heart and soul, if you will, of this Houston's of this Houston franchise. And but like Mike D'Antoni said yesterday afternoon, you've got to give up something. You're not going to get a Chris Paul without giving up something. So, good morning, Freddie. Freddie says, do you like the move for Chris Paul? You know, Freddie, on paper, it's a great move. right? If you're a fantasy guy or gal, and you do the stats and numbers, because Chris Paul is a great player. I think I like Chris Paul a lot. I am concerned that in terms of they're both very dependent on handling the ball, and clearly that role has to go to Chris Paul. He has got to be your point. I mean, he was like, what are you going to do? Run 2 points? You know, and granted, you can have a point or you can have 2 points and one of them, and they share the ball handling responsibilities. However, yeah, I to answer your question, I'm not sure about the move. I think on paper it looks really good. And I heard what D'Antoni said, he had Steve Nash before, and when you have great players like James Harden and Chris Paul, both very high basketball IQ. They call them both future Hall of Famers. Perhaps they are. I don't know. I'm not sure about the deal yet. I just am not convinced that it can work. I'm far less concerned about Chris Paul's ability to make it work, right? I am a little concerned about James's ability because we know James. We know James Harden, and we know that he is, while I thought he, grew up some last year, I thought in the playoffs we saw what we often see from James Harden, and it's not necessarily something that I think is great for the plant, great for the franchise. However, we're going to see. I think that if Chris Paul is available and he's made it clear he wants to come to your team, you have to find a way to get him because the upside from him is a lot. I talked to someone last night who said, Kim, I'm just not that I thought they gave up a lot from him. They gave up a lot for Chris Paul. And so you can look at it and say, he's getting older. He's had a lot of injuries. Yes, he's had some injuries, but what he gives you is still really very good, right? It's still really very good. So, we're going to have to see to answer your question. Let's see. Andre says, it's hard and it's not, let's not act like a, oh, wait, did I miss something you said first? Oh, wait, let's go to this one. I'm sorry. Let's start with your first comment. You think James is the ex employer, old, it's hard, and it's not act like a spoiled child. So I guess you're saying, do I think James is a – here's what I think. I think that James is kind of a big kid. I think that James wants it both ways. He wants to be the center of attention. He wants it to be his team. And then I also think that he wants – I think he does want to win, and I mean I don't have any question about him wanting to win. What I then go is to say, is he willing to do what it takes to win? See, I think most people want to win. I think most players, especially to play at that level and play so hard. I mean, he's getting paid, so it's not like he's got to make more money. He's making as much money as he can make right now. I mean, in terms of salary and that sort of thing. But, is he willing to do what it takes to really win? I don't know. Maybe not kick it so hard in the playoffs. Maybe wait until they're over and party after it. Is he willing to make some of those small little changes? Is he willing to not worry about whose team it is, and just say, we're going to get this thing rolling. I'm not going to be as exhausted when I get to May and, more importantly, to June. And I'm going to have some help, and we're going to do some stuff. Someone on Periscope asked me my thoughts about Chris Paul. I like him. And we forget that Chris Paul is also a very good defensive player, right? He's a very, very good defensive player. And so that's going to be interesting, because we know that James Harden is not particularly committed to the defensive side of the ball. And what is that going to look like when it's February and Chris is going hard and James is not? And so is he going to listen? I mean, is James Harden going to respect or listen to Chris Paul? Can Chris get in his stuff? Is that going to work? I don't know the answer to that. And I'm not going to pretend to know, just because I cover this team, I have no idea. Freddie says yes, and that's going to be a challenge. Good thing Mike D'Antoni's office is able to share. Well, that's true, you know. And Mike talked yesterday about how smart Chris Paul is, and how when they coached on Team USA, and you know these superstars were able to play together, and you know. He feels like it can work, and they, you know, they just have to kind of figure out the chemistry. But one of the things they said yesterday is, you know, just think about it. Every time the Rockets play, you're going to have at least one future Hall of Famer on the floor. Sometimes two, but you're going to have at least one future Hall of Famer on the floor. Interesting, right? That's, you know, those are good points. So. I think that, like I said, I think on paper, I think it looks great, right? I'm just not sure if there's enough basketball to go around. And they can both say, you know, we want to win and we can work that out. But they both, Chris Paul and James Harden, were, top eight in terms of possessions last year, in terms of time of possession, in terms of when they had the ball in their hands. And here's an interesting stat. James Harden went from 7 to 11 assists a game last year, right? And the Rockets went from 41 wins to 55, if I have that right. And clearly Chris Paul is used to having the ball in his hand because, you know, that's what he does. So I think they're going to have to work that out, right? I think that they're going to have to work that out. And Andre, you make a good point. James cannot act like a spoiled child. Andre says, injuries aside, Chris Paul is consistent. Yeah, Chris is, I mean, he's consistent, and he's a really good defensive player. I mean, you know, we can't sleep on that, you know. And I just think it's, you know, so, yeah, I think that it's going to be interesting. And so if I seem at a loss for words, because I just think it's really going to be about, and I've heard players, I've heard current players talk about it, not as much, but I've heard, you know, former players talk about it, and NBA, you know, expert kind of folk. And people are, they either say, oh, this is going to be great, or I'm worried this could be a disaster. You know, so I don't know. I don't know which way it's going to be. I think it's going to be really interesting. But here's the other thing. One of the people who follows me tweeted me yesterday and said, you know, Kim, they could have gotten him in free agency. It's much better for the Rockets to get him with a trade, right? And so what do I think of your Hawks? Your Hawks, Ernest, your Hawks are going to have to do a little bit of work. We'll get back to your Hawks in a second. But I appreciate you tuning in and having a question. So it is, and he said to me, he said, well, they could have gotten Chris Paul as a free agent. And I think the concern is that the Rockets just gave up so much for Chris Paul, right? And did they give up so much for him? You're going to have to give something up, right? You're more than likely going to have to give something up. And, you know, Pat Beverly, they hated to have to give him up. And also, you know, they also talked about they were trying to keep Montrez out of the deal, right? They were trying to keep him. They knew they'd have to give up Pat Beverly. Any kind of, you know, real move was going to require somebody that people actually really wanted it, and people like Pat Beverly because of his tenacity and his energy and his drive and his passion for the game. But they were trying to keep Montrez out, so they were not able to do that. You know, so they got rid of two young players who they had some hopes from. Hello from Australia. Welcome. Good to see you. Welcome on Periscope. You know, when you talk about Sam Dekker and Montrez Harrell, they're going to miss them. You know, and then Lou Williams, who was only here for a couple months, they got him, what, in March from the Lakers? So, you know, Lou Williams is gone. I don't know that I feel that Lou Williams is a huge loss. I mean, they do have Eric Gordon, who is the sixth man of the year. And, you know, they still have the core. They kept Trevor, and that was important, you know. So I just think that there are a lot of questions, if you will, you know, a lot of questions, if you will, about how this move will work. And, you know, it will be important for It will be important for Mike D'Antoni to figure it out. I mean, that's what he gets paid for, figure it out. Now here's the other thing. Right after that happened, yesterday the move with Chris Paul, and, you know, you saw LeBron tweeting saying, man, Houston's got my man coming. You know, it's great for H-Town, great for, you know, for CP3. Then there became the conversations talking about Carmelo Anthony. Like, would Melo be a possibility for the Houston Rockets, right? If they could, let me see. I'm going to pull up, and I don't think I can show it to you, but I can read it to you. I followed Stephen A. Smith a lot on this one because he's in New York and he does have those relationships. And so he had an update this morning. He said he found out that Carmelo would accept a buyout to go to the Cavs. Okay, so if he would go play with the Cavs, which LeBron would love, he would accept a buyout to do that. To go to Houston, it'd possibly be via trade. So, you know, it'll be interesting, right? It'll be interesting. And here's something else that I thought that was interesting. Stephen A. wrote something yesterday. He said, there is not a point guard alive that's not going to defer to CP3, the point guard. I mean, that's a really good point. You know, how do you not defer to CP3? You know, you're going to do that, right? You're going to refer to CP3. You're going to have to. So Freddie says, truthfully, yes, the Rockets gave up a lot for a short-term push. And see, here's the thing. I listened to one person say on a national show, so why would CP3, why would Chris Paul wait, not just wait, and go on as a free agent in July? Because he stands to gain a lot more, you know, as a free agent. Well, he orchestrated this deal and got exactly what he wanted. Because now he gets to come here to Houston. He gets to come to Houston for 1 year. See if this is going to work, right? And then next year, he can, you know, try to get his max deal, or he can go someplace else. So it made sense for CP3. It obviously made sense for the Clippers. So that if he said to them, listen, I'm out. I'm not going to be here. I want to go to Houston. So it makes sense for them to deal and get something for him. They're nothing. And for Houston, it made sense to do it now instead of getting into the fray of being, you know, are they any chance that they are, you know, having to, you know, compete with other teams and he go around visiting and all that goes with it. Also in terms of what they're able to do with cap space. And in terms of being able to, what they're able to do with cap space and have some money available, all that kind of stuff, it made sense as to why they went on and did the deal now. And so one of the things Daryl Morey did yesterday talked about that, right? So anyway, it is, you know, a lot to consider. That went. So I have my guest coming on. I just saw him. I lost him. Max Edison is going to be joining us, and he'll come back on. I saw him and I lost him. He's going to be joining us, Max Edison from the Houston Defender. And hey, John Fitzgerald McGee says, who's going to play defense? So Chris Paul's a really good defensive player. So Chris Paul plays defense. James Harden is not so much. So that, you know, and they, I guess they will continue to grow with what they've been doing. And, you know, and Felix says we give up Pat Beverly and Lou Williams, the Rockets will be fine. Yeah, I mean, you know, I know people like Pat and they're going to miss Pat. And I think Pat, you know, he, you know, there's a lot of really good things about him. But, right, here we go. Where is Max? They're bringing, you know, Pat Beverly, in terms of what he could do, was, I don't want to say limited, but, okay, we'll say kind of limited. I mean, he gave you some good stuff in terms of what he brought to the team, but, you know, he didn't, let's see. Are you there, Max? I think he's coming up. We see the split screen. We're working on getting him there. So, yeah, you make a good point, Felix. You know, and Lou Williams. I mean, Lou Williams we thought was going to be this great offensive spark. He had a couple games that were you know, decent, but he never gave us, never gave the Rockets what I think they really expected. I think CP3 is an upgrade. I think clearly he is an upgrade. My thing is, what else will they do? Okay. And how will they make that work? Okay, so here we go. I think we're going to bring my guest in shortly. We're getting there. This is a new platform, guys, I'm using so that when I interview people, I can actually bring them onto the show and you can actually see them instead of just hearing them. Over in Periscope, somebody says CP3 is a huge upgrade, but they need a few bench players like Iggy. Well, here's the thing. The fact that they made this deal now, it gives them some money under the cap. They get about $8 to $11 million in order to get another player or so once free agency starts. Getting into a bidding war for CP3, they were going to have to move some people. It made more sense for the Rockets to make this deal to get it done prior to free agency. Felix says Decker was taking too long to develop. You know, we saw some flashes of Sam Decker, Felix, some things that we saw about him. I think the player that they – I know the player that they were disappointed that they had to give up was Montrezl Harrell because they said it. Like, they just said it. They were disappointed that they had to give up Montrezl Harrell and, you know, so – they were hoping they could keep him out of the deal, but in the end, they were not able to do that. You know, they of course they said, you know, they'll miss all the players, and you know, those are the right things to say. Yeah, Harold, Ernest, you're right. He was good on defense, and he was developing. He was a good young player who was really starting to develop, and they are going to miss him. John Fitzgerald says also, I don't see how the Rockets can trade for anyone else. Who is there to give up other than the ghost of Akeem and Drexler. So they would not trade anybody else, right? I think they're done with the whole trading because of how this works. What they would do is, you know, they could bring in a free agent because you're right, they don't really have anything else left to deal. So I think that when they talk about money under the cap, it's who can they get once July 1st starts? What free agents will be available? So let's go to the name that was talked about yesterday, and that was oh there we go. I think I'm bringing them up now. Yeah, there we go. Hello, good morning, Max Edison. Welcome to Chalk Talk. We're talking about this deal that the Houston Rockets made on yesterday, and I know you have some thoughts about it, and I've been sharing with the audience, and they've been telling me. But when you first heard about the deal, what were your initial thoughts? Wait, where'd you go? We saw you, and then you left. Okay, he'll come back. He's in the lobby. Technology's amazing, except when it doesn't cooperate with you fully. Okay. He's coming up. There's his name, and then we're going to see his face. There's no other trade to be made right now, which is one of the things that makes it interesting about the idea of Carmelo Anthony, because they would have to do – it has to be a trade, and I don't know what they have left to give or to offer. And Houston apparently is one of the two teams he'd like to go to. I think the Cavaliers is his first choice. But he'd also be interested in going to Houston or coming to the Rockets. So let me do this. Let me bring him on this way in case he can't. If he can't do that. So, okay. I love technology, except when it doesn't work my way. So I don't know what they could do about a trade, as I was saying, John McGee. Yeah, and that's true. Phoenix, you make a – that's my point. CP3 is a great defensive player. He was first-team all-defense. He was first-team all-defense. And he has historically been a really good defensive player. That's one of the things that makes him really amazing. He's smart. He's good off the ball, but he's a great defensive player. And so I think we just look at his stats and we think about him in terms of his assists and that he does score. He does score. He doesn't shoot three-pointers quite like the Rockets always do. But he is, CP3 he is definitely an upgrade. And for all of you who have felt some kind of way about Pat Beverly no longer being here, you'll be okay, all right? You will. You're going to love CP3. Now we're going to go, because I couldn't get the other thing to work, and bring in Max Edison. He is the sports editor of the Houston Defender, and he and I used to co-host the show years ago, so this is like old home week when we talk sports together. Good morning, Max. Welcome to Chalk Talk.
Hey, is this Jamel? Jamel? Is this Jamel Hill?
And he has jokes. No, it's not Jamel. It's better. It's Kim Davis.
You were Kim Davis before she was Jamel. Trust me. How you doing? Good to talk to you this morning.
I'm good. How are you?
Everything's well. I'm just giddy about the Rockets trade from yesterday, and also excited that the Astros are back in town.
Mike, they aren't just back in town. They're back in town and taking names, right? They had a slugfest yesterday. George Springer is continuing to show why they made an investment in him early, took a chance that has paid off mightily. But, Max, let me ask you something. When you first heard about the trade for Chris Paul, what were your initial thoughts about that deal?
Daryl Morey has done it again. Actually, I was watching. I just stepped into a room and decided I think I'll look at First Take until they wear me out for about 5 minutes. And I guess 5 minutes into watching them at whatever point that they were, crucifying Phil Jackson, they said, "We got breaking news." And I'm like, "Huh, I wonder what this is." And when they said that Chris Paul has been traded to the Rockets, I said, "Daryl Morey, in the words of the Mississippi Mass Choir, he's not tired yet." So he has pulled off another deal. And we'll see where this takes us. So I was pretty excited. It's really kind of interesting that people would be concerned that we're losing Pat Beverly. I really appreciate what Pat Beverly did while he was in his tenure with the Rockets, but there's no way in hell I equate Chris Paul and Pat Beverly on the same plane. And I think if you line those two up, we got the better of the deal on that one.
Yeah, well, there's no question. I mean, I think people Pat Beverly is a sentimental choice, but in terms of basketball playing ability, clearly Chris Paul is a huge upgrade. So let me ask you this: I'm like, oh wow, they got Chris Paul. I like his game a lot, and then I say they've got Chris Paul, right? He and James Harden both were in the top eight in the league in terms of time of possession. With James being, the point guard last year, clearly Chris Paul has to be the point guard You know, they're both going to share the ball handling responsibility, though. But do you think that is going to create a challenge? Because we do know James and all the things that are great about James. We know some of the challenges with him. And are you at all concerned about that long term? Initially,
no,
I think they'll be great.
Absolutely not, because it's not like the team forced this trade or the Clippers traded Chris to a team that he really didn't want to come to or whatever. The two of them, James, from my understanding, has been pursuing Chris for the past few weeks, sharing why they should work together, sharing and discussing how they could work together. So, no, I'm not the least bit concerned about how they'll play together. Got a story out now on our website, defendednetwork.com, where I had a chance to speak with a guy that you're familiar with who happens to be a Hall of Fame backcourt person in the original number 23, Calvin Murphy. And he said that he uses the example of Walt Frazier and Earl the Pearl Monroe. In the 70s at First Take, you would think, how can Walt Frazier and Earl the Pearl with his flashiness coexist? Because they're professionals and they have one common goal in mind. They wanted to be champions together, and they sacrificed their game. They had enough respect for each other and what they brought to the table, and in a short period of time, they were able to figure it out. I mean, at the end of the day, this is just basketball. This is not how do we get a guy to Mars or how do we establish Middle East peace. It's basketball. And,
right.
You know, it's always a problem when the haters, when something happens for a team that the haters don't like. The guys that loved LeBron going to Miami to play with Bosh and Wade, they never had a problem worrying about how they're going to work together. The haters who didn't like Durant going to Golden State or the people who did like Durant going to Golden State, they never really concerned themselves with, how are they going to make that work? They're champions. They want to play together. Guys do it on the playground all the time and during the summer play with, you know, super teams on pickup games. So they'll find a way to make it work.
You know, you make some interesting points. And I think, you know, I am far less concerned about Chris Paul's ability to, you know, get in and do what he does and make it work. I have some concern about James Harden. Here's what I believe. I think James Harden wants to win. I mean, he's a competitor. He's making the money he can make. So, you know, he's not playing for a new contract. He keeps getting those. So what is left? The thing that's left is getting to the next point, getting over that hump, getting to the championship. But what we all know, whether it's in basketball or whatever it is that we do in life, are you willing to do what it takes? In those moments when it's difficult, are you willing to push through and do what it takes to really get to the next level? I don't know that yet about James. I'm not saying he cannot, but I think it'll be really interesting. Yesterday, after we initially heard, Max, about Chris Paul coming to Houston and Houston giving up seven players, a future first-round draft pick, and some money for Chris Paul, then there was the rumor floated around that, you know, Melo wants to come to Houston. If he could get a buyout. So I did see this earlier today that Melo apparently would accept a buyout to go to the Cavs, right? But to go to Houston, it'd possibly be via trade. Okay, a couple of things about the idea of Carmelo Anthony coming to Houston. Houston doesn't really have, when you talk about trade, they don't really have anything left to give. And Mike D'Antoni and Carmelo Anthony have interesting history, and it's not all great. So I'm not sure that that's a real feasible possibility to get him to Houston. But because the Rockets did this deal during the trade season, it helped them with some mid-level exemption cap money. They have about $8 to $11 million that they can use to go out and get a player once free agency starts. That's obviously way below what you got to pay Carmelo Anthony. But your thoughts about Carmelo Anthony possibly joining this franchise?
Personally, I'm not really big with Carmelo. He has indicated that all he wants to do is get paid, you know, winning the championship. If it happens in the NBA, it happens. But, you know, this whole thing of stumbling around with the Knicks, he could have pretty much called his shot last year because Phil Jackson was that so much tired of him and ready to move him on from the team. But now he decided, nah, I want to stay in New York, want to make this money, and you can't trade me. I'd have been out of New York on the first thing smoking. Again, he was with a good franchise when he was with Denver, but he talked his way out of that because he wanted to go to New York, not because New York could help him win or he felt they were putting something together special in New York. He wanted to be in New York for the money and for the fame and glory and for the opportunities it would create for his movie star model wife and all the other things besides winning a championship. Mike D'Antoni found out that, you know, he's incredibly hard to coach, but he only wants to do what he wants to do. So if that's the case, ain't no way in hell we bring him in here. I think at some point when we actually had him in for a visit a couple of years ago, Les Alexander got the idea from just his body language and whatever while they were at dinner, is that, you know, he asked him pointedly, you really don't want to come here, do you? And he acknowledged, no, just like to be wined and dined. So let Carmelo stay where Carmelo is. Let him go where he wants to go. What you're talking about, what the Rockets are trying to do is establish a mentality of we're trying to win a championship and it's all about being unselfish. I think that's the main thing that you'll see happen with James Harden and Chris Paul, is that you'll see a level of unselfishness. And I think the interesting thing with James Harden is simply this. He has been able to put up fantastic numbers here, but when you look at the teams that consistently are going to the conference finals, the teams that are going to the championship rounds, they got more than one superstar on the team. And I think James has figured out, and I don't, not that he's a dumb guy, but I can do everything I can to help get us there in the 82 games of the season. I think in three of the last 4 years, he's led the league in minutes played. But I'm not a machine. At a certain point, when I wear out, somebody else has to pick up this mantle and run with it. That's one of the problems that Steph Curry never has to worry about. If he's not having a good shooting night or he's going through a mild slump, oh, God, what's Golden State going to do? Kyrie never has to worry about that because he's the second alternative with Cleveland because you have LeBron. You know, guys like Westbrook and Harden, they find out the hard way that I can average a triple-double for a whole season. I ain't getting out the first round of the playoffs. I can have individual accolades, but unless I have help, and I mean all-star-level help, it's going to be hard for me to reach the ultimate goal, and I think that's what happens with James here. He's able to put up MVP-quality numbers, but the help that it takes when you're carrying the entire team on your back, I mean, 29-12, that's a hell of a burden. And I don't think sometimes people really understand that if Harden doesn't play, if he doesn't score 29 points, then
they don't win.
We're extremely mediocre. Yeah, we're not going to win at all.
Right.
He wasn't trying to pad his stats. We needed every one of those 50 points, every one of those 40 points to give us a chance to win. He is a difference maker. And I think he realizes that, hey, man, I got to recruit some guys, trying to recruit Dwight Howard, big mistake. You know, what I need to do is get a guy who's just as hungry as I am in Chris Paul, and then maybe we can get one more guy with what we have, and now maybe we can make a legitimate push.
Talking with Mike Edison, the sports editor of the Houston Defender, we're talking basketball. We're talking about the Houston Rockets trade. Felix said that Melo would be a better fit in Houston than anywhere else right now. Cleveland is not enough shots and ball movement. And he says that Denver was a horrible fit for Melo. That front office and coaching was horrible. I do remember that situation wasn't great for him.
It was a great situation, but he just didn't want to be a part of it. That's why I said he's a coach killer. He was up there with George Karl. Guys like Carmelo can't be coached hard. You know, he wants to do it the way, well, I did it this way with Jim Boeheim. Well, that was a whole nother level. George Karl is a Hall of Fame coach. Yeah, he's going to call you out of your name. Yeah, he's kind of ignorant. But George Karl can coach. George Karl coached the glove, Gary Payton. He coached the Rain Man, Sean Kemp. And a lot of these guys, like Carmelo, and LeBron's that same guy that came from the AAU circuit where you have to, you know, you have to cajole and goose me up and do this kind of stuff. I mean, Carmelo's had a whole bunch of coaches, and except in the Olympics, he ain't been particularly coachable. He wants to take his shots. He wants to kind of Cadillac on defense, and that's pretty much it. And when you look at his career and what he's been able to put up, you look at, say, his career versus, say, LeBron, where one you can say a lot of things about LeBron, but you can't say he hadn't been aggressively on the mode to win a championship. And when he put things together for that group there in Miami, it was all about him getting off the snide and winning a championship. Carmelo was about just getting paid, and that's okay. Just go ahead and let everybody know that, look, dog, I'm just in this to scrap me as much paper. You can collect rings. I'm going to go after this cash, and I'll see you at the end of the year at the retirement home. But, you know, Carmelo, that's the problem. I don't think he's really about that life. He's getting older now. His body's starting to break down. He's got family issues. Now he's kind of looking at, yeah, maybe I could if I could just get to Cleveland. But, again, he ain't looking at the reality of, Doc, you're not going to win nothing doing what you're trying to do. So, I mean, let that stay where it is. The guy that I really like is Paul Millsap. Give me a guy that's hungry, that's put up numbers, and really pretty much people kind of overlook what he brings to the table.
You know, Paul, you said that. You shot me that text yesterday. I know when we were talking. And so I tell you, I have some folk over in Periscope saying, no, not Paul Millsap. And you know what? I think, though, Max, also, when you talk about George Karl, you know, there's some players, I mean, you know, Gary Payton didn't like him. I mean, there are people that some people just were not a fit for Karl. I mean, he ain't a coach for everybody. There's some that will say he's a coach killer. Felix is saying he's a coach killer. And whatever that deal was, I think that at this point in Carmelo Anthony's career, I think back then people were willing definitely to give him the benefit of the doubt because, you know, it was younger and earlier in his career. But I think this New York Knicks experiment has made people think differently about Melo and his commitment to, as you say, said, winning a championship. How important is that? I think he also knows that, like, this is a great contract he has. He's probably not going to get another one of these kind of contracts just because of what he hasn't done in New York. And while the New York situation is not great, clearly, Phil Jackson needed to go. He is gone. And, you know, of course, that was leading the conversation on the national shows yesterday until the Chris Paul trade happened. But and now they're talking about who's going to go into New York. You know, and, you know, again, you talk about money. Phil Jackson was getting $12 million a year. Dude wasn't even coming to work all the time. Hey, if you can get it, I guess get it. But I think you're right. I do, you know, Paul Millsap, you know, people talk about Paul George. I don't see the Rockets being able to get him. I mean, they're just cap strapped now, and so the ability, you know, he's not a free agent, at least not this year. So their ability to make a trade to pull off a big player in a trade is they don't have anything left, right, because they're down to their core. And they don't want to let go of a guy like, you know, they like Eric Gordon. For some reason, they like Ryan Anderson. I could let Ryan Anderson go. That's just me. I'd be okay with him not being a Rocket. You know, I think Eric Gordon, you know, getting the Sixth Man of the Year award showed you how valuable he can be. And then clearly you guys like Trevor Ariza. You need a Trevor. And you got to have somebody to put on the court with James Harden and Chris Paul. But you said something about James Harden, Max, that I think is interesting. It is, and I have been saying this since the season ended, it really is going to take the right kind of superstar veteran to come in and play with James Harden. He's got to respect that player, and you said it. It's a player that's got to want it enough. The Dwight Howard fit was just disastrous because Dwight needed some things that he just couldn't get here. Dwight needed to be kind of loved and hugged and you know, I like Dwight, but he needed some things that he didn't get, and it made that relationship very difficult. And, you know, it made it challenging. John Fitzgerald says it's not enough cap room for Millsap, for my accountant, guy.
you probably would have to find somebody to do something with Ryan Anderson if you're going to bring Millsap in. But I think the bottom line is this. A lot of these guys, they're outstanding players, but at the end of the day, you have to really want to sacrifice to be a champion. All three of those guys that went to Miami sacrificed some of their money to be a champion. I don't know why we're talking about Paul George if he has the mentality to be a champion, because he wants to go to L.A. Ain't a damn thing championship happening at L.A. right now, unless you got a crystal ball and you can see through, hey, the last 3 years they've been one of the worst teams in basketball. And unless you're counting on LeBron coming out there the year after next or something like that, I'm always concerned about teams, about players that try to force their way into certain situations. We saw the same thing in baseball a few years ago with Griffey. Now, I'm only going to Cincinnati. You saw the same thing with Carmelo. I'm only going to stay in New York. And you force your way into situations, and once you get there, yeah, you get paid or you get what you want, but the team doesn't win. You got what you wanted, but there's no championship aspiration involved in that. You just wanted to get what you wanted to get. I don't see Paul George saying, hey, I'm trying to get to San Antonio, dog. I'm trying to get – so put me in the backcourt with whoever San Antonio has and let me play with Kawhi. Hey, man, let me go ahead and try to see if I can get to Boston. I think I could be the missing link. Hey, I'm trying to go to L.A.? Come on, man.
Right. Well, I think people are looking at what Magic is trying to do, and I guess they're looking at the pieces of what he's starting to do. Here's a question. Phoenix asks, what do the Rockets do about the backup point guard spot now? You know,
what do you do is the same thing that you did when they found Patrick Beverley. There's basketball players out here, folks. Don't be fooled. All you have to do is look at one Jonathan Simmons at San Antonio, who most people, when they saw him come up big in the playoffs, who the hell is this guy? The guy from Smiley High School here at Houston and played at the University of Houston. You know, you got to get your scouts out there and find where these guys are. But I guarantee you there's some basketball players out here. Just like Patrick Beverley was stumbling around in Russia, and we brought him in even though we had paid a gargantuan amount of money to Jeremy Lin, and he quickly showed you that I'm a lot better than Jeremy Lin. And then there was Jeremy Lin, who was, you know, stumbling around from team to team and got a break and showed that, hey, man, I'm pretty decent. I'm a good role player to bring off the bench. That's where your scouting department has to come in. There are basketball players all over the world. You got to find them. Guys like the Clint Capellas and guys like the Patrick Beverleys that are in the European League or that are wasting away on somebody's bench because they may be playing behind a superstar that can't find their way. So, you know, now it's incumbent upon management, Daryl Morey, BJ, all the scouts over there, to scorch the earth, to find these guys who can come in and give you serviceable 5, 10, 12 minutes a game and be able to maintain whatever it is the first team has built up. But, you know, that's why you have the summer league. That's why you get out there. Who knows, say, a guy like Clint Capella that was, you know, anybody want to give you anything for this guy? I'll take a chance on him. You put him with a nucleus that we have, and found out that he can thrive as a guy possibly coming off the bench.
So, Felix loves Iguodala, and he is a free agent this year, Felix. And so teams have been kind of looking at him. I am not as excited about Iguodala as you are, Felix. You know, I thought he looked great in Game 5, and you know, but I just thought he was. You know, he didn't shoot the ball particularly well this year, and so I think that's why he is expendable with the Golden State Warriors. Mario Chalmers, Phoenix says he's been in town a lot lately. I'm wondering, I don't know about that.
As a backup point guard, a guy who can come off the bench and, you know, maybe give you 5, 10, 15 minutes, you know, he's played in a championship environment before, you know, he's seen some hard times. So, you know, just the chance to be with an organization like the Rockets that's moving in the right direction, similar to what he had in Miami, you know, he could be serviceable. Mm-hmm. I don't think Iguodala's going to leave Golden State if they're having – you know, Golden State's the kind of place that you play even if you have to take a pay cut because
right.
the level of familiarity is there. And plus, you know, the odds on is
they're good.
In championships. Yeah. And at this point in Iguodala's career, for me, it'd be all about stacking chips. You can be Harrison Barnes and get a boatload of money in Dallas, or you can continue to stay in Golden State and stack up and collect rings. I mean, it's up to you. To each man his own. But I wouldn't break the bank to get Iguodala here, and pay him a whole lot of money just because you want Iguodala.
Right. John has joked. He said, "Let's get Putin to send us the next Patrick Beverley." Here's the thing. You know, you said something earlier, Max. You know, Popovich and the Spurs have been able to find these gems and jewels and players to come in. And make their team work. And so that's why your scouting department and the people who work in that area, you know, it's much more important than I think sometimes people realize. You know, there's two rounds in the NBA draft. That's it. It's not like the NFL draft. And so you've got to be able to go out and find some people and who can play. And not just the obvious. You got to get outside of just the players who are sparring in places like Kentucky or – You know, Duke or North Carolina, wherever there might be the obvious choices. There are other players around this country, and you're going to have to be able to go out and identify some of those people. It's going to be interesting. And, yes, Mario would have to be a backup. You're right about that, Felix. You know, what I think it does, Max, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the Astros in a moment, it made the Rock – I mean – this thing just got a whole lot more interesting. It's kind of like when you and I were sitting there on draft night, the NFL draft night, and when we heard at 12 when Cleveland was up to make their second pick of the night in the first round, they said, "We have a trade. It's the Houston Texans." The whole thing just changed. Like the whole idea about the Texans moving forward changed in that very moment. Moves like that, moves like a Chris Paul, change the entire trajectory of a team, and I think that's what happened with the Rockets yesterday. We'll just have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, those trades become iconic moments in history, especially if they go the right way. You know, people will remember, where were you when you found out about the trade? Where were you when they made the draft selection? You know, people will tell their kids later, this was the move that, you know, put us in the stratosphere with the perennial, you know, chasers of the Super Bowl. And you got to be bold, because if you just stand pat, then you're going to get what you always got. You got to have that willingness to take that first step to challenge the opportunity to be great. And that's the one thing that I look at with Daryl Morey, and think we're starting to see it a little bit more with Rick Smith. Even the move the year before, even though it didn't work, you know, making the move for Osweiler, because we can't continue with business as usual. And if it doesn't work, then hell, we'll find a way to dump his ass and we'll keep on going. But we couldn't
right.
continue to go with the same old, same old. And I think that's one thing that we can say, that at least we can applaud, you know, guys like Rick and guys like Daryl, that, you know, we're going to do something even if it's wrong. It's going to be an educated move. And if it doesn't happen, it just doesn't happen in case somebody gets injured or whatever. But you can't say that we were satisfied in selling the consumers, the sports consumers in Houston. We're just going to repackage this garbage and sell it to you with a different label. And you have to be happy with that. Now we'll see, you know, the other pieces that they can put around what they started with Chris Paul. And again, if there are some players out there, you know, remember everybody can't. Golden State's not looking for any new players, and Cleveland is almost camped out as well, and so is Boston. So if you're a good player out there and you're looking to go someplace where you can play and you can play a fun brand of basketball and you're unselfish, hell, Houston would be a perfect destination, and it's a great city. So why wouldn't you want to play here?
Yeah, I think that especially with the addition of Chris Paul. I mean, you know, we know it like takes a star to get another star. And so it is going to be interesting to see what the rest of this summer looks like, what other moves are made, not just with Houston, but around the NBA. One of the things yesterday that Mike D'Antoni said in the press conference, he said, we got a whole lot better. He said, we're not Golden State. I mean, you know, I was saying in the last couple of weeks, everybody is trying to figure out how do I get a team to compete and challenge Golden State for the championship. Golden State right now is the standard, and teams recognize that. And so it is about chasing Golden State. Before we get out of here, I want to talk about the Houston Astros. You and I are both baseball fans. There is an afternoon game today that I might try to get out to. It looks like it may not rain, even though they do have a cover. But the Astros, continue to have the best record in baseball. They were 6-1 on the recent road trip back home. And George Springer, he's not going to cover off the ball. Now, that first home run he hit yesterday wasn't his deepest, but his slugging percentage has been pretty outrageous and impressive. I'm excited about the Houston Astros. I know that you are too. Are you concerned with their starting pitching? Or where do you stand on the Astros right now?
Well, the concern I have is that they don't wear out the bullpen. We got Colin McHugh coming back after the All-Star break. Hopefully, the way they've handled him, that the problems he was having with his elbow have been, that he's well, bottom line.
Right.
I have faith in Jeff Luhnow that their farm system is deep enough that if there is a trade available for a pitcher, kind of like Daryl Morey, Luhnow is not stumbling around saying that a couple of years we're going to be great. They're going to be willing to sacrifice, top minor league prospects, the Tucker youngster that they drafted a couple of years ago that's playing real well in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get a frontline, high-caliber starting pitcher in a deal, they're all in for this year. So I'm looking forward to that. I was encouraged last night when I saw Tony Sipp come in, a left-hander mm-hmm. who has been suffering from some issues with confidence and being able to get guys out, come in and pitch an inning of perfect baseball. So, that's the only thing that concerns me is that because the back half of the starting rotation has been a little bit shaky, Paulino has great young stuff, has a great arm, a great young arm, but still he's a youngster, and even though they spotted him some runs early, he was not able to make it out of the fifth round, which would have gotten him a win instead of yet another non-decision. But I see Paulino and Martez as being great back-end starters, so the future looks even better as they continue to gain experience because they've got the stuff. But we just need to keep on doing what we're doing. I think most people, since we haven't been good in baseball in so long, forget that baseball is a marathon. It's not a sprint. We finished the first half of the season as the best team in baseball. One thing we can do is knock the cover off the baseball, and we've got a darn good offensive lineup from top to bottom. So if we can score runs and we don't wear our bullpen out, I like our chances.
Right.
I respect Jeff Luhnow as a general manager enough, and I know what Jim Crane's philosophy is. Let's go ahead and win right now. That I'm just going to sit back and just let them take us organically wherever they want us to go and roll with them. I haven't been a bandwagon jumper, and I know a lot of our fans keep their Jordans on so that they can jump from here to there to everywhere.
Right.
But I'm all in with the Rockets, and I have been, for a few years because I understood what they were trying to do and what they were putting together. And when you look at the core of their group with Springer and Altuve and with Correa and with McCullers and with Dallas Keuchel, that's solid. When you look at what they sprinkled around that core
right.
with,
Hey, Max, we're up against it about to jump out. I want you to tell people where they can follow you on Twitter before we – I just realized the time before we have to get out today. At It's Max Edison, is that right?
It's ITS Max Edison, and you can also see the work at on our website, defendednetwork.com.
All right, Max Edison, as always, I appreciate you. Thank you, and I will talk to you soon.
Take care. Give Jamel my number when you see me.
Blog Talk Radio. We are jumping out of that broadcast. I'm still over here with you on Facebook.